Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking with Ira Victor, and we're talking cybersecurity for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yeson405.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Ira Victor. He is a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Good to be here today, Sam.
So the governor has allotted $3.5 million towards cybersecurity for the state. It seems to me like that's a very small amount.
Well, of course, the devil's in the details and how it's spent. So I think that's what we should be focused on rather than the actual amount. Look, the experts today, Sam, say there are only two types of networks, computer networks. Networks that have been compromised, and the owners of those networks know where they've been compromised, how far, and what data. And networks that have been compromised, and the owners don't know where the compromises are and how far they've gone in and what data.
Really? Oh, we're at that point.
We are at that point. And the experts, there's pretty much consensus on that opinion, that all networks are compromised, and it's just whether you know how much you know about it and how much you don't.
Okay, so for example, just bring it down to somebody in a regular office with a regular PC.
Yes.
If they are not aware of a hack, they are still compromised?
They're still compromised.
Wow.
The cyber criminals are breaking into networks with such frequency and such ease that they don't always exploit that network right away, or they do other types of techniques that are exploiting the network, but they keep a low profile so that the people that are running the business or working the business have no idea.
So if you have, say, McAfee or one of these other companies, Symantec, that offers you zero protection?
No, it's the way to think about it is like aspirin in your medicine cabinet. It's always good to have aspirin in your medicine cabinet. But heaven forbid you were in a car accident today, Sam. You wouldn't reach to the medicine cabinet and say, I think I need two aspirin if you have a concussion and internal bleeding. So antivirus firewalls, you want to have them, but they only offer the very minimal protection. They do not keep the bad guys out of your network.
All right. So let's go back to the state for a second. You said it's not the money, but what they do with it. I know you've worked in the past with the state. Are you working with them on anything currently?
I am not.
Okay, so what if you were recommending how that money should be spent by the state, what would you suggest?
So the first thing that I would do to suggest to the state is the state needs to have an inventory of what information they have and rank it in terms of the most valuable information and start by concentrating their resources on protecting the most valuable information. Guess what? That's a recommendation I have for all businesses and all organizations. If the bad guys are in your network and they are, and they're there persistently, and many times they are, then it is often not cost effective to protect every single shred of information and every single communication on our network. So we need to rank them and say the priorities. What is our organization? What is our most valuable asset? What are our crown jewels? And then concentrate our resources on protecting our most valuable assets.
All right, so I'm going to turn that around, because when you say that to me, I think, first of all, I don't have things that are that valuable. And then I think again and go, well, everything's valuable. So am I protecting my email? Am I protecting what am I looking to protect as an individual business owner?
Yeah, as a business owner, think about your financials. It could be, again, I'm going to say generically for different businesses, and it's going to be different for each business, but it might be your sales plans for next year, because that's competitive information. It might be information about who you're going to hire. That's competitive information. It could be you'd like to buy the property next door to your office because you want to put a parking lot in there, but you don't want to make that really well known because you think the guy that's going to sell it, If he thinks there's not a lot of demand for it, he might let it go for a low price. So every business has its own crown jewels. And then instead of thinking about like email separately or the web separately or your files separately, say, I have certain communications, like I'm digging around trying to find how I might buy that property next door to turn it into a parking lot. That is more confidential email than your normal email. The files around appraisals for that property. You want to protect those more than you might protect the brochures for a community event next week, which are going to be distributed to the public anyway. So you go through and rank your data and your information rather than ranking a particular type of system or service. So take some discipline. Take some discipline to do this. Bad guys are doing this, by the way. They're ranking your data. They're saying, This data looks more valuable than that data. So if you don't do it, the bad guys are doing it for you, and they'll start stealing your most valuable information.
So when you put it on a state level, you know, I would say, first of all, you've got the executive branch, then you've got all your departments. If you just look at the executive branch, I mean, just in Health and Human Services, for example, which is a subject near and dear to the chief of staff to the governor, Mike Wilden, who used to head that department, there is unbelievable amounts of very valuable data on everybody that's come through that system.
But there's unbelievable amounts of not so very valuable data. So that you have to have the discipline to segregate and say, what is our most valuable information here and what is relatively less valuable? Unless the budget is Pentagon size, you don't have enough money to protect all the information. I mean, it's just reality. The amount of money it would cost to protect all the information equally, people would scream that we can't afford that. I mean, look, Sam, I was down for testifying on a bill down in this session and in hearing about other bills. When there are bills in front of the legislature or the Senate and it has to do with technology, there's no budget for information security to speak of. I mean, there was a bill that I testified on, and it was going to have SB 395, and it was going to have the most sensitive information about businesses in the state of Nevada. What was critical infrastructure that could take down the economy of the state of Nevada? And the state was going to house all the information about the vulnerabilities. That was a proposal in the bill. All the information about all the vulnerabilities at these businesses. And the amount of the budget that had been estimated by the executive branch for computer hardware to protect that information, I kid you not, was less than $10,000 over 3 years.
Holy moly.
All right. So we're not going to get lots of money for information security. Let's just be realistic about this. It's the same in businesses. So you've got to concentrate your energy on the crown jewels, the most valuable information, and acknowledge that that's what you're going to do. And it's still going to be hard. $10,000 for the most valuable information in the state, more important than not that health and HHS information isn't important, but we're talking about taking down the economy of the state, $10,000, less than $10,000 over 36 months for computer hardware to protect that data.
And you've made a big point in the past on this program about the difference between IT and security.
Yes.
Would you refresh people's memory on that?
Thank you, Sam. So information technology, culturally, the people that are in IT are taught to deliver services on time and on budget. So we've got less than $10,000 to spend. We figure out a way to, and the bill was supposed to start collecting that information in the next few 6 months. So we got to stand up those systems, as they like to say, and deploy them and do the best we can with the $10,000 that we have over the next 3 years. That's the culture of IT. In information security, we look at risk. Our culture is about risk. What is the data we have? What are the risks to it? How do we mitigate those risks? And then we go to our decision makers and say, here are the risks. Here are the liabilities. If you want to protect that data, these are the steps that are going to need to be taken.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ira Victor when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ira Victor. He is a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com. So you were talking about protecting the crown jewels and talking about what the state is trying to do on a very minimal, that's the kindest word I can say, amount of budget. But I'm thinking in terms of, for example, when GOED is going out there trying to bring companies to the state. Mm-hmm. The information they're compiling about, you know, what things to give a company, what tax breaks, et cetera, and we're competing with Texas and other states. The idea that somebody could come in and grab this information, they could hold up individual states and either cost or make states literally billions of dollars.
Yes, they can. And there's a laundry list of valuable information that organizations have that they are not doing enough to protect it. Now, some of it is because of economics. It's expensive. That's why we've got to concentrate our efforts and say, hey, these are our most valuable information assets, and we're going to protect them and really do a strong effort to protect them. But we're not going to stop the cyber criminals until we do that. I mean, the bad guys are having a field day because we're saying, as you said, many people say, well, all our information is valuable, so that none of it gets well protected or not enough of it gets well protected.
All right, let's talk about North Korea and the whole ransomware deal. People think that their information isn't valuable enough to be taken over. But the reality is that in a lot of cases, the ransomware requests are $300, $500, less than $1,000, at least on the initial go-around. Any company could be hacked in this manner.
Absolutely. Look, I think a lot of people think, well, I don't have something that's valuable enough that the bad guys are going to go after. We first have to change our notion of saying that the cyber criminals live in Midtown Reno and have a nice condo on the river and think like, you know, a normal person, how much is my time worth? These people are living in third world countries, whether it's, you know, North Korea or Kathmandu or Turkmenistan. Their calculations for what it's worth to break into your system is different than what our calculations are. In North Korea, for example, if you don't do what the government says you can do, they not only put you in jail, and not jail, they put you in a gulag. They put three generations of your family in the gulag. So the motivation to break into a system, three generations of my family, or I break into this system where someone doesn't think they have anything valuable. What do you think is going to happen? And that's what we see happening from countries all over the world. Many people think North Korea is one of those countries where we're getting a lot of cyber attacks. And there are other countries as well where, again, the economics are completely different from those of us in the West. One of the things that people don't realize is that the bad guys don't need to, they don't just do one kind of attack. We hear about one kind of attack in the news and then another kind of attack. And it seems sort of like, now there's a new attack, like the bad guys are shifting. Most of what the bad guys do are cocktails of attacks. They take a little of this and a little of that and a little tomato juice and a little pepper, and they make their own cocktail. So I'll give you one that has come in the wake of the big ransomware. There are cyber criminals that are breaking into computer networks and stealing the computing power of that network to mine digital currency. So they can make money from the other people's computer and sell those digital coins on the legitimate digital currency market. Now, while they're doing that, many of them are watching what the network does. Oh, do they go to this bank? Do they have this kind of information? Do they have that kind of information? What kind of information could I steal from them that I could trade or do something else with? So they're monitoring your network. They're using your computing resources. And one day you go to use to do something and you find out, hey, we've been a victim of cybercrime. Or maybe you never find out. Maybe they're stealing the information and selling it to somebody else and you never find out. That parking lot that someone else bought, who knows if some cyber criminal sold your valuable business information to somebody else.
And that's kind of like, to put it in simplistic terms that most people could understand, if you read the book or watched the movie The Big Short, that, you know, they were making money in milliseconds because they could see the trade that you were doing. You'd be able to buy stock at a certain price up to a limit where they came in and bought the stock and sold it back to you for a higher price.
That's right. There's all sorts of ways to have information and to use your information in a way that ends up hurting you.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ira Victor. I'm terrified already. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ira Victor. He is a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com. He's also the host of the CyberJungle.com. You're on monthly now, right?
Yeah, I'm on monthly. www.thecyberjungle.com.
You know, if they have to put www in, they shouldn't be listening to your podcast.
No, they can. They can do it. I just want to make sure that people know to type the first.
As we move forward with this, one of the things that I don't think people realize, because, you know, being in the United States, we look at what happens around the world, we see what happens to us. But the United States is very strong in cyber and cyber attacks.
Offensive, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, people say, not discussed very much.
No, people say, well, why are they attacking us? You know, don't they, you know, this is really horrible. Well, you know, we're in this cyberspace exists globally. It doesn't really know boundaries. And the United States is one of the largest perpetrators of cyber attacks against other countries. And not the only ones. The Russians are very big. The Chinese are into it. The North Koreans are into it. The Iranians are into it. The Pakistanis are into it. The Brazilians, the Germans. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Indeed, the large-scale ransomware attack in the last few weeks, the core of the attack was developed with your tax dollars and mine by the National Security Agency. They found a flaw about 4 years ago in a lot of computer systems, and they built an exploit tool against that flaw to break into systems. And those exploit tools were leaked out into the digital underground a number of years ago, allegedly. And it was that code that was then used over the last few weeks, the large-scale ransomware attack. So our very government developed the tool that then was used by cyber criminals against us.
What keeps you up at night?
Boy, a lot of things. I think, you know what, I'll say what keeps me up at night lately. let's do lately. More and more people, Sam, are falling for this scam. And I see it right here in Nevada. They get a message on their computer screen that says, you have the Zeus virus, or you have some malware that's well known. And we want to help you. Call this number, and we'll come into your computer and clean it out. This is like the most important thing about this show today. There are no white knights that are going around the internet finding that you have something on your computer and popping up a message to help you. All of those people, every single message, every single one is a scam artist. You don't have that malware on your computer, or you may have that malware on the computer. The bad guy has absolutely no idea. He's just putting up a name of a malware that's scary. And so and giving you some trigger that goes on your emotions that says, oh my gosh, I better call right now. And there's many variations on this. And when you call, they remote into your computer, and then they have whatever they want. They're remoting into your computer. They can put more malware in your computer. They can steal all your information. They can put malicious code there that tracks everything you do after you leave. So if you are a victim of this, i.e. you've let one of these bad guys into your computer, you've called them up, you've engaged with them, they're on your system, there is no like antivirus scan that I can assure you will keep out the bad stuff. You need to take your computer to the store and have it completely wiped, and have the operating system reinstalled and your applications and files reinstalled. Because it's really, really atrocious what they're doing, and they're making a lot of money from it because they're ripping off people and breaking into systems. That's what keeps me up at night lately. I see these attacks on Macs. I see them on PCs. I see them at businesses. I see them at homes. It's rampant right now.
We only have about 30 seconds left, but one of the things that always concerns me is when I get an automatic update and it appears to be credible, and I always momentarily pause before I hit the button.
Yeah. So you do need to learn about the legitimate updates from the your operating system vendor and the programs that you have. And if you contact those vendors, you know, if you're using Adobe PDF Reader, you need to learn what the legitimate Adobe PDF update is like. Yeah, if you're using Microsoft Word, what the legitimate update is like, because you can be scammed. But not updating them is also an invitation to let the bad guys in your system.
Ira Victor is a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com. You can also find him as the host of TheCyberJungle.com. It's a great show. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, even though you scare me.
Good to be here today, Sam.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yesonon405.com. paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On our next broadcast, we'll be covering the legislature from Carson City. We'll see you then.